It's a bit daunting for me because I had prepared something which I was going to say this morning, but the Lord's told me to say something else. And so the talk this evening is going to be called "The Kingdom Has Come, The Good News." And so we're going to pray now and just pray the Lord will lead and guide us as I navigate through this. And so, Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that your word is a happening. We thank you that as we speak it out, Lord, you fulfill the purpose for which you sent it. And I pray now, Lord, that you'd help me through this as you lead and guide me through these texts and make them clear to each one of us here this evening, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. So if you want to turn with me to Matthew 4, verse 17. I was going to preach on 2 Samuel, but we're not doing that. Has anyone got a page number for that anyway? It's what? 968. So that's Matthew 4. And in this story, in chapter 3, what we have here is that John the Baptist comes preaching in the desert, preparing the way for the Lord. He says this: "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." This is what was spoken to the prophet Isaiah: "A voice of one calling the desert, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him." And so John the Baptist is in the desert, he's preaching, he's speaking to the people, preparing the people for the arrival of the king. And so John the Baptist is preaching, and then it says this in verse 13: "Then Jesus came from Galilee to Jordan to be baptized by John." And so Jesus is, John the Baptist is preaching about the coming of the kingdom of God. He's saying, "Prepare the way of the Lord." And then he sees the Lord coming, coming through the desert, and he sees the Spirit of the Lord, or a dove, falling upon him. And it says this: "Then Jesus came from Galilee to Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, 'I need to be baptized by you. And do you come to me?' And Jesus replied, 'Let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this, to fulfill all righteousness.' Then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water, and at that moment, heaven opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending on him like a dove and lighting on him, and a voice from heaven said, 'This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased.'" And the wonderful thing about that story is that Jesus had done nothing in his ministry. He hadn't even started his ministry at that particular period of time. But God wanted him to know how much the Father loved him. And so when the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, the voice of God said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." And that is the message I know the Lord has for each one of us here this evening. This is my Son. This is my daughter, whom I love. With him, with her, I am well pleased. And that's God's invitation to each one of us here this evening. This is my Son. This is my daughter. And then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert where he was tempted. And then we see this in verse 12. It says this: "When Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, he returned to Galilee. Leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum, which is by the lake in the area of Naphtali and Naphtali, to fulfill what was said to the prophet Isaiah." It says this: "The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, the way to the sea along the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned." And so Jesus came to fulfill the word and the scripture in Isaiah. And Jesus came to bring light into darkness, to bring life in the place of death. And when Jesus came, a light dawned. The people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. And then these are the first words that Jesus said. repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. And when Jesus spoke those words, he unleashed the power of heaven upon this earth. When Jesus spoke these words, things would never be the same again. That now light would drive out darkness. God's love will come and replace those things in our lives that are broken. And so when he spoke about the kingdom of God, he ushered in a new era. He ushered in a new day. He ushered in a new hope. He ushered in words of life that people were longing to hear. And once he proclaimed the kingdom of God, he called people to be part of the kingdom of God. And he says this: as Jesus walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Come and follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." At once they left their nets and followed him. He declared the kingdom of God, then he called people to be part of the kingdom of God. And then what did he do? He modeled the kingdom of God. He says this: Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. News about him spread all over Syria, and all people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases and those suffering severe pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures, the paralyzed, and he healed them. Large crowds from Galilee, Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and the region across Jordan followed him. And you see, when Jesus came, he came to bring the kingdom of God. He came to bring the good news. He's come to bring the good news. And when the kingdom of God comes, everything changes. Because when the kingdom of God comes, things can never be the same again. Because Jesus' reign and rule comes upon the earth. And so those who were ill were healed. Those in pain were healed. Those who were demon-possessed were healed. Those who were paralyzed were healed. And see, large crowds came. Why? Because Jesus came to bring life. And that invitation is here this evening to each one of us here tonight. The kingdom of God is here. Jesus is here. And the invitation is to come and follow him. And Jesus wants to come and bring life. In Luke 4, it says this: Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread throughout the whole country. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as was custom, and he stood up to read the scroll from the prophet Isaiah. Unrolling it, he found where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And so when Jesus came, he came to fulfill God's word. What is it? God's word was this: that through his Spirit, through the anointing upon Jesus' life, the good news he spoke of was going to bring the freedom to those who are in prison, to bring recovery of sight to the blind, to release the oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Isn't that wonderful? The Lord's year of favor. And the Spirit which is upon Jesus is also upon his people. And it's called each one of us to be part of his kingdom, to be kingdom people who are anointed by God, who have the good news which is given to us by God. It's called each one of us to proclaim the freedom to the prisoners, recovery sight to the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And you see, when the kingdom of God comes, the good news comes. The word gospel means good news. And those who heard the good news were so delighted in hearing who Jesus was and what he's like. And I remember, it's about 20 years ago now, before I became a Christian, I was out with the lads, as you are. And we went up to the pub at a particularly early time of the day. And we went for a few beers, and we were just sort of hanging out together and just sort of enjoying each other's company and sort of getting slightly worse for wear. And on the way, as I was left the pub, I made the foolish mistake of driving to the pub. And I thought, because I had a few beers, I could probably just drive home quite happily. And so I invited a friend of mine to sort of say, "Don't worry, I'll drive you home." I probably wasn't as clear as that. And so we climbed into the car, and we drove down from the pub, and we took a right, went down by the station, under a bridge. And just under the bridge, there used to be this bend, which when we were younger, we used to get the back end of the car going out. Do you know that one? We were driving along really fast. You're pushing the back end of the car around that corner. And so I thought, because my friend was with me, I could try that one. So we went under the bridge, foot down the accelerator, and as we began to go around the corner, the back end went woof, and then I tried to pull it back that way, and it went woof that way. And next minute, the car went straight onto its roof, and we rolled straight into this hedge. And this old lady said, "Look what you've done to the hedge." And my friend, who was in shock, kind of said to her a few words, which probably weren't as pleasant as they should be. But as we were going over in the car, I felt my nose hit the steering wheel. And I felt the Lord say to me, "I could have taken your life then, but I didn't." And the reason why you got knocked on the nose is you're going to remember this. And so I got out of the car, kind of upside down. It's really weird when you've got to unplug a seatbelt when you're upside down. Hopefully not many of you have tried that before, but it's quite a weird experience trying to work out how to open the door and everything. So I got out and went over the road to a shop and said, "Can you just phone the police?" So they turned up. I was arrested, taken down to the local police station, and charged with being goodness knows how much over the limit I was at the time. And I remember sitting in that cell, suddenly realizing, you know, my life was beginning to fall apart just a little bit. And suddenly, things which I thought I could get away with were suddenly not quite working out as they used to. And suddenly, the things I thought would be normal just suddenly disappeared. And my dad, he still is, but he was a pastor in the local church. And so he came down to pick me up after, you know, just to meet with me before I got arrested. And he had to, because everybody knew everybody in the town. So my dad, he's an amazing person. Sort of the humiliation of his son, he's preaching about the good news of the God, and his son is ripped a car upside down, got done for drink and driving, ending up in a police cell. But the most amazing thing about that story is that that I didn't die, which praise God for that. This is wonderful. But a few months later, my dad took me away for a week just to get away from everything, because at that particular period of time, a lot of people were talking about what was happening, you know, in the local community, and I just needed some time away. And we went to a place called Cornwall, which is kind of on the, you've got the south of England, and you've got the kind of bit that hangs out down this way. And we just went down there for a week, and every day we used to get up in the morning, we used to walk around a different part of the coast. And as we're walking around this coast, we went over this kind of hill, and we came down the other side, and we bumped into someone who my dad knew many years ago, and we saw him on the beach. And we just sat down and began to chat to each other, and I didn't mention anything to do with what had happened or why I had this period of time away. And so anyway, we met up with him. I'd gotten really well with him for some reason, and we sort of chatted, etc., etc. And as I left, we kind of said goodbye to him and continued, and we finished the holiday. Anyway, a few months later, I was taken to court. I got charged with drink and driving. I got a year and a half ban, and I got fined £150. Anyway, I got a letter a few weeks after that from a person who I'd met walking along that road in Cornwall. He said, "I felt I should give you £150 because I felt the Lord wanted you to know that he's in your life and that he's working for you." And so out of nowhere, this person I'd never met before basically paid for the fine. And it's the same way with Jesus, isn't it? That he always pays our fine. It's not one of us here who's worthy, but God has paid it all through the cross. And so there's a long story about me becoming a Christian, which I've shared with you before, but I'm not going to go into that now. But when I become a Christian, I ended up working in a... I went out to Hawaii, which I've told many of you before, and I went to a discipleship school for 3 months, which is a place where I could go away and find out more about Jesus and grow and grow my faith. And after 3 months of doing this course, we then went to work just basically putting what God had taught us into practice. And it's a bit like this story here, as I read to you before. Jesus preached the kingdom of God. He called people to be part of the kingdom of God. And they got on the boat, begin to put it into practice. And so I become a Christian, very new in the Lord, very new knowing Jesus. And we were ended up working in Fiji, of all places. And I ended up working in a prison over there. And when I first arrived, I worked with a guy called Sanela, and that's a Fijian name. And he had been in prison for 10 years, and he'd been in the maximum security prison in Fiji. He'd come to know the Lord, and the Lord began to use him to go into the prisons and to minister to the prisoners. And so what he would do, he would go and bring... colouring books, the Bible, just different things they needed or they requested, and begin to build a relationship with them. And over a period of time, there's a maximum security prison in a place called Suva, which is up on the hill. And he invited me to go with him one day into the prison. And it's a very daunting place when you begin to go into a Fijian prison, because these guys are massive, these guys. And so he went into this Fijian prison, so you have to go through the door. And in there, the guards, there's all sorts of stories that Sanela told me about the way they treat the prisoners. And so you walk through all these different doors and everything, and you come into this yard. They didn't let the prisoners out only for an hour a day, and they weren't really allowed to associate with each other, because they thought if they did, there'd be trouble in the prison. But because Sanela had gone into the prison and began to visit the prisoners and began to share with them, many of them began to know Jesus. And because of the way their lives had changed, they're allowed to meet a number of times a week together to read the Word of God, the Bible, and to just begin to be discipled and grow in their faith. And so while I was there, he invited me to come into the prison. So I went with him into the prison, and we went into this kind of room which had been allocated for meeting up with the prisoners. And as I went in there, I met this guy who must have been about 6'4". He had tattoos all the way around his neck. He had arms like this. And he had no front teeth. And I looked at him, and I saw the most incredible peace in his eyes. I saw this incredible twinkling in his eyes. I saw this incredible light on his face. And he said to me, he goes, it's just such a privilege you coming all the way over from the other side of the world to come and meet me. And I said to him, because he came to me and I used to put my hand out like that, and he grabbed me and I went, whoa, gave me a massive great hug. Anyway, he said to me, what a privilege it was for him to meet me. But actually, when I went into that space there, Jesus had provided that place for me to learn about what God is like. And when I met this person in prison who had had his life transformed, who God had done the most amazing thing, even in the midst of his prison. And I went into that place, and I met this most incredible man, and I just felt what an incredible privilege it was. And there's one of his friends there who was with him, who was a really great artist, and he had drawn a picture of Jesus upon the cross. And it's when he looked at this picture, it's one of those pictures that's so difficult to look at, because he really captured the suffering of Jesus. Because, why do you think that was? Because he knew what suffering was like. And so when I looked at that picture of Jesus upon the cross, there was the crown of thorns around his head, there was blood dripping down his forehead like this, and you could see the suffering and pain which he had gone through in order that we could have a relationship with him. And the wonderful thing about Jesus' ministry is that it's about the good news. It's good news for the prisoner. It's good news for the poor. It's good news for the drug addict. It's good news for the banker. It's good news for the Taoiseach. It's good news for everybody. It's not exclusive to, it's good news to everybody. And so for me this evening, what blows me away is actually God was willing to stand in my place. And in the story I showed with you earlier, that I had every right to be done for drinking and driving. I had every right to be fined. I had every right to be put in a cell. But by God's grace, someone came along and paid for my discretion. And the same way, Jesus has died upon the cross to pay for each one of us here today. And the good news of the kingdom of God is that Jesus wants to give us new life. He wants to turn our lives around, that the old is gone and the new has come. And this is how I understand the cross. We have God on this side, and we have us over on this side. But between God and us, there's a massive gap, isn't there? Because God's a holy God. God is pure, and He's righteous. He's never done anything wrong. And then there's us, all of us lot over here, isn't there? And we've all done all sorts of things in our lives, each one of us. But Jesus came to stand in the gap between you and me and God. And because He was sinless, He was able to invite us into God's presence. And because He paid upon the cross for our sins, through dying upon the cross, He paid a ransom for us. He then brought us into relationship with Him. So you and me who are standing on this side and God on that side, Jesus came on the cross like this, and He reached out to me and to you and took my hand and your hand. He reached out to God and touched His hand. And through His sinless life, He brings us together into relationship with Jesus so that we can know and love Him. And that is Jesus' invitation to each one of us here this evening. It's for all of us. Every single one of us, Jesus wants to bring us into His relationship. And I'm going to conclude now out of Isaiah 55. And it says this. Come all you who are thirsty. It doesn't say come some of you. It says come all of you who are thirsty. Come to the waters. And you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen to me and eat what is good. And your soul will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come to me. Hear me, that your soul may live. And that's God's invitation this evening to each one of us. Come all who are thirsty. Come to the waters. Come buy and eat. You don't need money. The cost has already been paid. Listen to the Lord. Eat what is good. And then your soul, your very being, will delight in the richest affair. Give ear and come to me, says Jesus, that your soul may live. So let's pray. And Lord Jesus, we just want to thank you for your invitation to each one of us here, your invitation of life and life unto the full. Thank you, Lord, that we all come to you as sinners, Lord, because you said, repent, for the kingdom of God is here. And Lord, we want to recognize that we are sinners, but also, Lord, we want to recognize your wonderful invitation into your presence through Jesus, who's paid the price. That we're no longer to be outsiders, but to be insiders, because God's invitation is into the presence of the King. And Lord, we just thank you for that is your truth, as I know it, and as many of us here know it this evening. We're all gathered to hear together because of who Jesus is and what he's done for us. And Lord Jesus, we want to thank you so much for that. And Lord, we want to continue to seek you and to reach out to you as you extend your hand to us. So we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So what we're going to do now is we're going to